The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Love, courage, truth. Glenn Beck.
So is this the beginning of the great crypto crash of 2018? I wouldn't say it was the beginning. I'm hoping that this is the end. I said over the holiday, I believed that cryptocurrencies, Bitcoin in particular, would crash to about 8,000 and then it would regain its sea legs and it would start to stand up again. I said that it would crash because of government interference and government scaremongering, and the governments around the world would realize, I'm no longer in charge. We've got to do something. In the end, I believe the government of the central banks around the world lose. But let's talk about this here for a second. The high value cryptocurrencies, double digit percentage losses in the last 24 hours. Bitcoin has lost $2,000 since yesterday. That's a total market value of $120 billion. If you were one of the crazy people that took a loan out to buy this tulip, you're regretting it today. So what's going on? Future traders are beginning to get worried about Asia launching a massive regulatory crackdown, and it's starting in Asia, but governments all over the world are looking to not only just regulate, but possibly even launch their own state cryptocurrency. Can I ask you a question? Why has the United States not come out and said, we're going to launch our own cryptocurrency? The dollar is now going to be the U.S. bit dollar and use the same technology. And the full faith and credit. Now, I know that that takes a lot of things out of the cryptocurrency world that we like. But I'm just trying to think like them for a second. Are we this stupid? The answer is no, we're that old and out of touch. South Korea and Russia have been the two recent countries to mention plans now to regulate cryptocurrency. We knew it was coming. The question now is whether cryptos like Bitcoin will be able to endure the bloodbath and recover. As Chancellor Palpatine said to Anakin, all those who gain power are afraid to lose it. It's not just losing the power, but the fear of who or what will replace the power at the Fed and the central banks. Look at what cryptocurrency provides. It cannot be hacked. You'll never wake up and find that somebody stole your identity and emptied your bank account. It's the ultimate reason governments hate it. Cryptos are not subject to a central bank, so they cannot be manipulated. Those are the reasons that cryptocurrency ultimately, I believe, will not only survive, but rebound with a vengeance. The blockchain check technology, the powers crypto is going to revolutionize, is pretty staggering. It's not just currency. The governments of the world will try and fight it. But I believe, I hope, that they will fail. I think they will, because we're standing in the doorway of a technological revolution. I want you to hear that. A technological revolution. It's nothing short of that. The next 10 years are going to be a very bumpy ride for people who have ridden this system for a long time up at top. It's also going to be very bumpy for the rest of us. And Bitcoin is only a small part of it. The transition period that we're going through will be painful. But it's actually very exciting if you look at what's on the horizon. If we're careful, true freedom, freedom beyond anything our founders could have ever imagined, is on the horizon. Because everything is about to change.
It's Friday, February 2nd. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
All right. Everybody who is interested at all in politics is talking about the memo and the FISA memo. Is it going to be released? I want to shake down exactly, get to the core of what the FISA memo really is and then I want to give you all of the update. But how many of us really at this point even know what this is supposed to be? We don't know exactly what's in the FISA memo. In fact, Axios is reporting today, inside the Trump administration's sources who have been briefed on the memo expect it will be underwhelming and not the slam dunk document that it's been hyped up to be. They're hearing that there's much more skepticism inside the White House than has previously been reported about the value of releasing this memo. Trump wants to release the memo, but there are a number of people in the White House who are fairly underwhelmed, and there's internal anxiety about whether it's worth angering the FBI director and intelligence community by releasing the information. I want you to know, the holdup on this memo is coming now from the administration. Before, it was the hype of the Democrats. Hey, everybody, text me to release the memo. I wrote it, and I have control over it. The president can approve that we release it, but you text and tell all those Democrats that memo should be released. That was all hype. It was smart hype. I mean, if you're a political player, that was smart hype, as long as you can pay off promise versus performance. They've promised us a great performance in this memo. Now, what's in it? Well, here's what they say is in it. What they say is in it is evidence that will show FBI bias against the president. That's bad. And this is the key, that the DOJ and FBI withheld information to the FISA court and then abused surveillance powers. Now, what is it that they withheld? This is really easy, and I have a solution for this because this memo is only going to make things more partisan. But there is a way the president can clear this up quickly. I'll give it to you in a second. Here's what the allegations are surrounded by. The Fusion GPS dossier. Now, the Fusion GPS dossier... Fusion GPS was working with Russia. Problem number one. This dossier was funded by the Clinton campaign. Problem number two. So you have opposition research for a political party trying to take down their opponent, plus it was compiled by a group that was working for Russia. So you have two problems there. Now, Christopher Steele is a very credible source. He used to work for MI6. He's known to us. He has done a lot of stuff for us. However, was this vetted? His job is to go out and grab everything that he can. Let me just talk to this person and this person and this person and this person. Now, have those things been confirmed? The answer was no. So you have raw, unverified information. For instance, I do not believe... Let me give you a real... The most salacious thing in the dossier was that Donald Trump went over there were golden showers, because he loves golden toilets and everything. There were golden showers that he was participating in. I do not believe that for a second. And you can believe the worst stuff about Donald Trump, but where this falls apart, he's a germaphobe. He doesn't even like shaking hands. He's a germaphobe. There is no way he was participating in golden showers. No way. But that was the most salacious thing in there. Was it confirmed? No. It was in there. Were the other things confirmed? No. It was a raw data dump. Coming from a company working for Russia, who, by the way, was on record trying to destroy our republic and to cause us to turn on one another. That's their stated goal. The second part, it was paid for by Donald Trump's opponent. Okay. So you have this. Now, let's just pretend that everyone is a patriot here, that there is no, we live in a world where nobody has an ulterior motive. Everybody's on the up and up. I mean, in America. So they get the document. Now, if you are a patriot and you get a document and it shows a whole bunch of stuff, you can use your logic and go, okay, germaphobe, that's not happening. Well, this one with Carter Page. Hang on, guys. Haven't we been working on something with Carter Page? Oh, yeah, the guy's an idiot. Carter Page has been in and out with Russia. They're using him. He's too stupid to even know what's going on. Well, I've got in this document all of that stuff, but he also went over to Russia. I know he went over to Russia. We were watching him. We don't know what exactly he did, but we think he met with some people. Well, this document says that he met with high-ranking government officials, and didn't he just join the Trump campaign? That's perfectly logical. The next step, if you're a patriot, would be, let's go get a warrant so we can figure out what Carter Page did and who he was talking to. Now, you bring that to a judge. You bring that first to the DOJ if you're the FBI. Then the DOJ, you make your case. They come and gather that all up, and they go to the FISA court. Now, I'm a judge, and I'm a patriotic judge. I'm having a hard time figuring out how you can be a patriotic judge in a secret court, but you're a patriotic judge. You want to do the right thing. And they come in and they say, hey, this Carter Page thing, the judge is supposed to say, well, where'd you get that information? How sure of that information? The FBI and DOJ can say, we've been watching Carter Page for a very long time. We got this additional document, and it confirms what we believe, and it comes from Christopher Steele. You remember him, Judge. We've been in front of you a lot of times talking about the information that has turned out right many of the times with Christopher Steele. Okay. Now, I have to ask one more question that nobody in the FBI and nobody in the DOJ wants me to ask. And that is, have you sourced any of this yourself? Do you have anything else besides Christopher Steele? And how did you get this from Christopher Steele? Well, we had it in a dossier. What dossier? Who put the dossier together? Fusion GPS. If the FBI didn't say, oh, and by the way, Fusion GPS is, well, they're also working with the Russians. Trouble. If the FBI also didn't say, we vetted all of this. I mean, at least the Carter Page part, the things that we're coming to you with, we vetted. And we've got a second source on this. We think this is very credible. Oh, and one more thing. The reason we were handed this, or the reason why this document exists, you know, from the company that's working with Russia, is it's also opposition research. This was paid for by the Clinton campaign so they could find something to destroy their candidate. If they told the judge those things, then you just have a problem with the FISA court, which I already have. If they didn't tell the judge those things, that's a real problem. That shows they're hiding things from the judge. If they didn't check those boxes, there is a problem. If they did, then you have a problem in the FISA court because you've now just set a new standard. Anyone can bring opposition research into a secret court and then convince a judge that we need to look into this. And that opposition research can be used to take down a candidate. That's Banana Republic stuff. Now, the question is, did that happen? I will tell you the easy solution, the way to find out that fast. I'll give it to you here in just a second. All right, tax season is here, and this week is Tax Identity Theft Awareness Week. I mean, a lot of people are, you know, getting ready for the Super Bowl, but I've been decorating my tax my tax identity theft awareness tree. So I'm a little behind on the Super Bowl. Anyway, if you're waiting for your tax return, there might be somebody else that is also waiting for your tax return, and that is people who have taken your identity. They use IRS imposter scams. They call you or they contact you, and all they're trying to do is get your security number. That's the harder way to do it. They can also just buy your social security number, most likely on the dark web. 1 in 4 people, 25% of people have experienced identity theft already. And if you're only monitoring your credit, your identity is going to be stolen in ways that you're probably not going to be able to detect. Thieves sell your information on the dark web, and then they can get an online payday loan. They can take and file for your tax return. And here's where LifeLock comes in. They detect, this is what they're looking for every day. And if they see that something isn't right, they're going to send you an alert and say, hey, we found something. Is this you? Are you doing these things? And if there's a problem, a U.S.-based restoration specialist is going to work to fix it. Nobody can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all business, but LifeLock uncovers these threats that you might miss and others miss. Right now, get 10% off by using promo code BECK. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK or go to lifelock.com. Use the promo code BECK. Save 10% now, lifelock.com, 1-800-LIFELOCK or lifelock.com, promo code BECK.
Glenn Beck, Mercury. Glenn Beck.
The FISA memo. It is now sitting, waiting to be released. It only requires the president's signature. It arrived yesterday at the White House. They're talking about releasing it. They were talking about releasing it today. Now they say in a few days. What are they waiting for? Well, there is a chance that this really hurts the investigation. And you don't want to do anything that hurts the investigation if it's really going on. And I mean the investigation into Russia and what is happening at the DOJ and FBI. Are they weaponized? We know that the IRS was weaponized. There is no doubt. The IRS was weaponized. No one did anything to change that. We cannot have our justice system also weaponized. We need to know. So there are some people speculating that this is too dangerous and it shouldn't be released in the administration. The word is, and I don't know if I believe this at all, that they're saying there's nothing really in this memo and it's been too overhyped and it's going to be a dud. That's possible. There are others that are just saying that this is just the White House and the GOP, which is true. This was a GOP memo that they have hyped after they wrote it. So we're only going to get one side. Okay, as long as everybody understands it's just one side, that's fine. And it doesn't hurt the investigation. But the president is now standing around listening to his advisors. And if the president wanted some winning advice, here it is. Forget the memo. You have the power, Mr. President, to release the original affidavit sent to the FISA court. Redact it so we don't hurt anybody. I just want to see. Was the FISA court informed that the FBI and DOJ themselves said this was salacious and unconfirmed? Then, did they confirm what they were presenting to the court? Then, did they tell the court that Fusion GPS was behind this dossier and information and that they are working with the Russians? Did they, in the original FISA application, did they also disclose that this was opposition research? If they didn't do those things, then you have a real problem the size of Watergate. I believe bigger. If they did do those things, well, then the only problem everybody has is that we have a secret court. And praise the Lord, somebody actually cares about secret courts in the Constitution. Mr. President, the winning strategy here is to either let it play out till the end and get the bad guys for sure, or if you want to release anything, you can release the memo, but release the original affidavit sent by the FBI and DOJ to the FISA court and redact it.
Glenn Beck, Mercury. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
The question that everybody on both sides needs to ask themselves when it comes to the investigation is what is the investigation? Who are we investigating? And what are we investigating? Are we investigating to find out if Donald Trump did something with the Russians that was wrong? Or are we trying to find out what is the network that Russia has built to influence our elections? And was anyone here, left or right, caught up in it by mistake, stupidity, or collusion? That's what I want to know. I also want to know this. With all of the evidence and all of the things that the FBI had investigated on Russia, and it is out in public record that it is, quote, a mountain of evidence of collusion, bribery, and obstruction. Why hasn't the FBI done anything about those things? Because that all goes to Capitol Hill. And the FBI and the DOJ have sidelined all of that. We need to know two things. First, what is Russia doing? How is this system working? Is anybody here in America involved in it? That's it. This isn't a Trump investigation. This isn't a Clinton investigation. This is an investigation on Russia. What are they doing? And then who got caught up in it, including our own DOJ and FBI? That's all this is. But everybody has made it political. I want you to listen to Richard Blumenthal on the FISA memo.
The Department of Justice has said that it would be extraordinarily reckless. And the release of this memo is really reminiscent of the darkest days of the McCarthy era with character assassination. It endangers methods and sources of the intelligence community, and it reflects an effort to distract from the Mueller investigation, which now is tightening its vise with this interview of Mark Corallo that the New York Times is...
Okay. You notice he was allowed to speak all the way through until the very end. And the follow-up question was not about the McCarthy era. Wait a minute. Richard Blumenthal. And I've warned about this, by the way. I'm warning Republicans, be careful on what you say. Be careful of what you accuse, because if you come out and say, I got all these people, I've got a list of them, you better be able to back it up. McCarthy wasn't able to. Now, nobody said the McCarthy scare in the last 100 years is one of the worst government things that has happened, right? The government has a trial for un-American activities and will put you in jail because you believe something that we don't like. And we call you in and can destroy you without any evidence at all, just on hearsay, just on people accusing you. Hashtag me too. This is one of the darkest periods of American history, at least in the last 100 years. It was the Salem witch trials. But did you notice he made that accusation about the Republicans and CNN did not push back? Now, let me take you to Steve King, who has the opposite point of view, also doing an interview on CNN. Listen.
You're going to have to pull all of this out, and that's one of the things the memo does.
But you're already concluding it was wrong,
triggers the operations to chase
Steve.
The rabbit trails down.
But you're all Congressman,
I know what's wrong.
But how do you know
there
it was wrong if you didn't
that are
see the
named
application?
In this memo, Chris.
Please, go ahead.
Chris, the data will come out. The data will come out. I want it to come out. I want it all to come out. I don't know that we ever get to the bottom of this unless we do. And if we're going to have a Congress that does oversight, we can't accept the FBI or the DOJ or any other branch of government from closing the gate in front of us and saying, sorry, you can't look at this because it's classified. Then what I saw and what I believe happened could go on in perpetuity and we become a banana republic. This is earth-shaking, and it does go deeper than Watergate, and the memo doesn't
deeper
answer it all
Watergate.
By any means.
How is it deeper than
deeper
Watergate?
Than Watergate.
Okay, stop. Deeper than Watergate? How could it go deeper than Watergate? You know what was missing from the last one? It's the McCarthy hearings. How could it possibly be like the McCarthy hearings? See, media, you don't understand. You don't get it. You are not being fair and objective because you just heard two really big charges. And I could make the case for the McCarthy charge and also at the same time holding the same point of view that it goes deeper than Watergate. Yes, I could make both of those cases. What I can't make the case on is the evidence, because no one has the evidence. What Steve King is saying, we have to release what evidence we do have, I am assuming, to stir up the people to get them to say, okay, we demand that everything is released here and there is a real investigation. I'm guessing that that's what the patriotic Republican is trying to do with this because, as he stated, the oversight committee is being told you can't have access to that information. Now, let's put this into your job. Imagine you are you're a manager. And you go to your staff who you manage and you're responsible for. You are the one who signs the check and you were the one that was chosen by the bosses. It was a direct election from the shareholders. And the shareholders picked that one boss and that one boss looked at you and said, I want you to make sure that everything is accounted for. I want you to make sure that there's no funny business going on in accounting. Now imagine that's your job. That's the oversight committee. That's your job. And you go into the accounting office and they say, oh, you can't see any of the numbers. Well, no, I need to see these because I've looked at the general stuff and the numbers don't add up. Something's not right. I need to see specifically the transactions related to this. Oh, I'm sorry, you can't see that. It's confidential. I immediately go to the shareholders. I immediately go to the shareholders and I ring the bell. Look, I don't know if there's something wrong here because they won't let me see it. And every time I have tried to get information, they obstruct me from getting that information. Now, I have information and I can connect the dots, but maybe I'm connecting the dots improperly. I have other people telling me that the accounting department is dirty. I can't verify it because they won't let me see the information. This could be taken care of quickly if they just show me the information. Now imagine that somebody tells you, the accounting department is, they're looking into it themselves. And this accounting department has a history of dismissing any charges against itself. Even though it will later prove out that, yep, somebody was embezzling money and they're still there. And yeah, there were charges, but they wouldn't let us look into it. And they finally admitted that, yeah, they were embezzling money. But now the shareholders have lost interest in that particular embezzlement because they're on another embezzlement. And so that one's never taken care of. Don't you on the committee stand up and talk to the shareholders and say, what the hell is wrong with you? They're stealing from you. And that's the way it should happen. And any company would demand it. In fact, the federal government would be called in to find out what was happening with that publicly traded company because something wasn't right. They're stealing your trust. They're stealing your justice. There will be no justice in this country if we don't trust that it is fair, even-handed, transparent, and accurate. The lowest on the ladder wants that, and the highest on the ladder wants that. Unless the highest on the ladder know I can manipulate this system. I have friends in this system. I and my buddies will get away with whatever we want. And that is not America. That is Mexico. That is South America. That is every dictatorship, every banana republic in Europe, in Russia, in Africa, in Asia. Every single time a country dies and goes into despair and despotism, the warning signs are you're losing control of justice. You can no longer trust your Justice Department because it's been weaponized. If you want to save the republic, stop looking at this as something against Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton or the media, or left and right. This is the clearest case of right and wrong. I want to know the truth. And if that means that Hillary Clinton goes to jail, or Donald Trump goes to jail, or neither of them go to jail, and the justice and FBI guys go to jail, so be it. If it means no one goes to jail, because there is no credible evidence, so be it. But I know one thing that will come out of it. If we look, we will find corruption in our own house, and we will find the source of that corruption in Moscow. I want to talk to you a little bit about Simply Safe. Simply Safe is the home security company that I've been working with for a long time. I met these guys when they first started. They had 10 employees, and they said, we are going to change and revolutionize the home security market. This was 10 years ago when, wireless and Bluetooth and all of this stuff, I mean, it was just beginning. These guys are so far ahead of the game. Now, They protect over 2 million people in 2 million homes in America. And they've just released their brand new home security system, the all-new Simply Safe. And this thing, I know they've been working on this for a couple of years, maybe 4 years, because they've been talking to me about it and showing me the designs at the very beginning. And it's beautiful. They kind of have this Apple attitude where it's got to be beautiful, but it's really, really small. And what they've added is really important. They've added the safeguards to protect against power outages or down Wi-Fi or cut landlines. They have taken bats and hammers to this thing, and they can't destroy it or shut it off. All new SimplySafe.com. The all new SimplySafe monitoring system for your home. When the door opens, the siren goes off, the picture is taken of the bad guy, and the police are called. It's that simple. SimplySafeBeck.com. Go to the website and they have a chart. You just have to scroll down a bit. You'll see a chart of how much money you're going to save. It's unbelievable what you save in a year. SimplySafeBeck.com. No strings, no wires, no contracts. SimplySafeBeck.com. Do it now. SimplySafeBeck.com.
Glenn Beck Mercury. Glenn Beck.
So the president has tweeted a couple of things this morning about this FISA memo that we kind of confirms that pretty much everything that I've just said to you is where this is headed or where the White House believes this is headed. Let me read these two tweets. You had Hillary Clinton and the Democratic Party try to hide the fact that they gave money to GPS Fusion to create a dossier which was used with their by their allies in the Obama administration to convince a court misleadingly, by all accounts, to spy on the Trump team. Next tweet. The top leadership and investigators of the FBI and the Justice Department have politicized the sacred investigative process in favor of Democrats against Republicans, something that would have been unthinkable just a short time ago. Rank and file are great people. This is all you need to know. This is all you need to know. And you're only going to find it out, not through this memo. You're only going to find it out from the original affidavit that the Justice Department and the FBI sent to the FISA court. Did they tell them that this was unverified, that Fusion GPS was working with Russia, and that this was paid for and compiled for the Democrats and the Hillary Clinton campaign as opposition research? If they did not tell the judge those two things, you've got an issue. Because now you have set the precedence that someone can go out and put an unverified and salacious dossier together and bring it to a secret court and weaponize the DOJ and the FBI. That's all this is about. All of this arguing back and forth about, well, you're a Republican, you're a Democrat, you just like Trump, you just hate Trump. All of that stuff, that's nonsense. That's only making your blood pressure rise and will get us nowhere. Did they disclose that this was opposition research unverified from a company working with Russia? If they didn't, big trouble.
Glenn Beck, Mercury. Love, courage, truth. Glenn Beck.
Oh, we're down to this now. Dads kissing their sons. Oh my gosh, no! No! The media is in a frenzy over a kiss between Tom Brady and his son. Oh my gosh. The documentary came out called Tom Versus Time. There's a scene in it showing his 11-year-old son coming into a room where Tom is getting a sports massage, and his 11-year-old son cracks the door open and says, "Dad, can I check my fantasy football league?" Okay, so now we have this really rich dude that has a son that's polite, that's coming in and saying, "Dad, can I go online?" Brady says, "What do I get?" And his son gives him a quick kiss on the mouth. Brady says, "Come on, that was a peck." And his son gives him another slightly longer kiss on the mouth. And the universe is folding in on top of us. The press is going out to the streets now. "Look at this kiss. What do you think's going on there?" "What do you mean, what do you think is going on there?" "It's disturbing. It's uncomfortably long. I don't know. He had his shirt off and was getting a massage at the same..." Are you kidding me? We have gone insane. Do not go over the cliff with the rest of humanity. Don't do it. Stop. Stop, stop, stop. Don't go over the cliff with the rest of humanity. We have, I have it right here. We have a story from CNN last week that cuckolding can be positive for some couples. What does that mean? That means you allowing somebody else to know your wife in the biblical sense. And you watch. And studies are now showing that that could be very helpful for couples. No, it's not. It's wrong. It's bad for trust issues. It will destroy your marriage. It will destroy and eat at the very fiber of your being and your soul in the end. Don't listen to that. Now they want to make sure. Cuckolding is fine. But a polite young son coming in and the dad saying, "What do I get?" That's wrong. Well, it's not only uncomfortably long, it's also teaching the kid that affection, or everything comes with a cost, and you're not going to get affection unless that cost. Shut up, you overeducated imbecile. Here's what you have: a man who loves his kids the way all parents should, a guy who loves his kids. A guy who, by all accounts, is caring and an attentive father. That's a real shock, considering the insane fame and wealth. I saw that kid walk into the door for 2 seconds, and I thought, boy, that's a well-raised young man. Parenting styles are different. I had a grandfather who would never hold a baby. I had a grandfather who actually said at one point when my mom was talking about childbirth, my birth, and I was like 8 or 9 years old, he said, "Ladies, there are gentlemen at the table." And my grandfather took me out of the room. Okay? I don't know. That seems a little old-fashioned and uptight. A grandfather who I don't think ever kissed me. But I adore my grandfather. I love my grandfather. I had no doubt my grandfather loved me and every member of the family. That was his style. I'm really affectionate. I do that with my son all the time. I am not ashamed. I am dreading the day that my son is ashamed to kiss me in public. I know it's going to come, and I'm dreading it. Don't be shamed by expressing your completely normal affection for your 11-year-old son. Media, shame on you. You know, "Oh, no, we're not saying anything. It's just a conversation." No, you're not. No, it's not. You're implying that there is an incestual homosexual pedophile that's going to the Super Bowl. Let's be honest. You can hate the guy because he's perfect. I do. He's perfect. He's successful. He's got a hot wife. He's got everything. Okay, that's not his problem. That's an issue I have with God. Stop giving it to all the same person. Anyway, with that aside, what do you say we just enjoy the weekend? We look at Brady as a quarterback who has a 50-50 chance of losing. You know what? Here's an idea. Hope for his loss, if you have to, instead of trying to make him into a ridiculous sexual predator.
It's Friday, February 2nd. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Mr. Bill O'Reilly from BillO'Reilly.com. Welcome.
I'm here. Here I am, Beck. What's going on?
Well, the whole sexual predator that Tom Brady is, you know, with his son. Have you seen that video yet, Bill?
No, I know about it. My advice, I know Brady a little bit, and my advice to him and everybody else who's famous in this country is never, never allow cameras into your home or photograph yourself in any at all. Because we live in a world now where on the internet, the primary focus is to destroy people, to hurt people. And I've heard a number of sermons from different clerics and of different religions zeroing in on the evil that the internet has presented to the world. And I absolutely believe that any famous person or even regular people allowing themselves to be photographed for stuff that's going to be put out for mass market is crazy these days. Particularly a guy like Brady doesn't need the publicity, doesn't need that.
I just don't know what's wrong with us anymore. You kiss your son?
Yeah, on the head. I kiss him on the head, and
why am I asking you? You are the you and I went on tour, and we were standing next to each other. I'm sure you remember this. It was the first one we ever did, I think, and we did it in Atlantic City. And the people came up to you, and they were very, very polite and awestruck, and they're like, "Mr. O'Reilly, very nice to meet you," and shook hands, and then you politely stood there, and you were Bill O'Reilly. And then they would come to me, and they would totally change, and they would give me a hug, and I would hug them, and it was such a difference in style. You're not really a hugger.
No.
Are you?
That's by design, because I have to protect myself. Look what happened,
I know.
To me and others and you, and to some extent, not the same thing, but I always have to protect myself, and I always did, but it didn't matter, because once you get into a realm of the truth, doesn't matter anymore, and we are there in this country, then no matter what you do. But I feel bad for Brady. I think you're absolutely right. He's just trying to be a good dad to his son, and it's used to try to harm him and the boy.
You know what? I don't even know if it's used to harm him as much as it is for fodder. It's just, I think there's so many things out there that people will take anything, they'll make it into anything just for fodder, just to talk, just for hits.
No, it's malevolent stuff, Beck. The evil and malevolence is there. That's what drives it. And, I know it better than anybody.
You sound like you're in a delightful mood today.
No, I'm in a good mood, but this is a fairly heavy topic. Are you?
All right.
I can't come in and do Shecky Green.
All right. Okay.
Brady, give me something else.
All right. Let me give you this. The memo.
All right.
I think everybody is looking at this in the wrong direction. This is not about Trump. This is not even about Hillary Clinton. This is about the FBI and what they said to the FISA court. And that is going to be very telling. What are you expecting in the memo that's coming out from the Republicans, and why are they waiting so long?
Well, the Trump White House is afraid that if it comes out that Ray may quit, the FBI chief appointed by Trump may quit, Sessions may do something, they're afraid of the backlash from the Justice Department, the FBI. That's why it's taking so long.
And that is being perceived, though, as the machine coming out against Donald Trump and not wanting the truth out there. How could you make that case with Sessions and a DOJ and FBI that he's appointed the leadership to?
Well, I just think that there's fear on the part of the president's men, not so much him, that the backlash is going to damage Trump. Let me give you a perfect example. And I think we've discussed this before in your program. There's a tape by an attorney, a hate Trump attorney, that the Trump administration knows about. It's in the hands of somebody very close to the president, that shows money, big money, was being offered by the attorney to women to accuse Trump of stuff. Mm-hmm. That tape exists. That should have been out a long time ago. Why isn't it out? Because the Trump White House fears a backlash by putting it out. In politics, it's not like normal human beings. It's not like normal stuff, all right? They're always thinking about, well, if I do this, what's going to happen to me, rather than what's good for the folks. Now, getting back to this FBI tape, the American people have a right to know how the Bureau is conducting itself. Would you agree with that?
I totally agree with that.
All right.
And you know what? I will even say that for investigative purposes, we may not have a right to every detail at this point, but certainly the Oversight Committee does.
And they are the ones, the Republicans on the Oversight Committee on the House Intel, are putting it out. But more importantly, I think, the president should say, I'm putting this memo out so you know that there was an abuse under the Obama administration of surveillance.
A pretty serious one. So let me ask you this, Bill. Why doesn't he just release? This is my recommendation to him today. And, he listens. He listens to every word of advice.
I know that.
Yeah, he loves me.
Very big.
Very big in the Oval.
Yep.
My advice to the president is release the original affidavit sent from Justice and FBI to the FISA court and redact all of the sensitive information. Cut the middleman out of the Republican Party and just give me that.
Well, I would do both. You know, you can't not release the Nunez memo now. And I released the Schiff thing, the Democrats trying to make excuses. I'd release them both. But, you know, and then I would say, I'd order the Justice Department to say, okay, redact what you need to redact, but let's just see what the warrant was based upon.
So I
think that we have to do that at this point.
So I believe the trouble will come if the FBI affidavit did not tell the FISA court that this was from Fusion GPS, which was working with the Russians, and it was paid for by the DNC and elect Hillary Clinton campaign. If they didn't tell the FISA court those two things, and they also didn't at least double check the facts that they were pulling out and using as specifics, then you can say there's something really, really dirty here, and this is wrong. This is a banana republic kind of stuff.
Well, I think that's absolutely true. And if there were exculpatory evidence given to the judge, that would have already been out. Schiff and the Democrats would have already put it out. So you got to assume there isn't any, because the Democrats are fighting so hard to not let the folks see the memo. I mean, this is where it's coming from. Newsday, the newspaper on Long Island where I live, editorial today. Oh, this is a smokescreen. Oh, you know, hey, look, pal, let the people decide what's a smokescreen and what isn't. Okay.
When we come back, I want to play this audio from Steve King, who said this is worse than Watergate. I mean, you're a real journalist. You've been around for, you know, I mean, since the invention of fire. And I'd like to get your opinion on what is the difference between this and Watergate. Is it as bad or is it much worse? We'll get to that in a second. Bill O'Reilly from BillO'Reilly.com. All right. If you're going to run a business, you need to be surrounded by the right people, the people that see your vision, the people that are hardworking and innovators. People that are seeing the world for what it is, not what it was. You don't have time to get lost in a huge stack of resumes or emails and phone calls. You need the perfect hire. You need the right tools. You need smarter tools. And that tool is ZipRecruiter.com. ZipRecruiter will post your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards with a single click. Then they go the extra mile. This is what really sets them apart. They go out and they actively look for the most qualified candidates and invite those people to apply instead of just waiting and hoping that that person is going to see the job board. That right person may be on vacation. And so that first week, they don't even see it. Unless you have ZipRecruiter. They go out and they invite that person to say, hey, there's a great job for you. This is why 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in the first day. It's the smartest way to hire, and you can use it for free right now. ZipRecruiter.com. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Beck. If you want it for free, you got to add the slash Beck. ZipRecruiter.com/Beck.
Glenn Beck, Mercury. Glenn Beck.
So glad that you're here. Thank you so much for listening today. Bill O'Reilly is with us now. Bill, welcome back to the program. How are you?
I'm good, Beck. Thank you.
Did you have a little nap there in between?
I did. I had a little,
little siesta.
You know, snooze, yeah, and good. Now I'm reinvigorated.
All right, good. Let's play Steve King. This is what Steve King just said on CNN. Listen.
You're going to have to pull all of this out, and that's one of the things the memo does.
But you're already concluding it was wrong,
Steve. It triggers the operations to chase the rabbit trails down.
But you're all Congressman.
I know what's wrong.
But how do you know
there
it was wrong if
you didn't see the
application?
There are people that are named in this memo, Chris.
Please, go ahead.
Chris, the data will come out. The data will come out. I want it to come out. I want it all to come out. I don't know that we ever get to the bottom of this unless we do. And if we're going to have a Congress that does oversight, we can't accept the FBI or the DOJ or any other branch of government from closing the gate in front of us and saying, sorry, you can't look at this because it's classified. Then what I saw and what I believe happened could go on in perpetuity and we become a banana republic. This is earth-shaking, and it does go deeper than Watergate, and the memo doesn't answer it all by any means.
How is it deeper than Watergate?
Deeper than Watergate.
Stop. Bill, how could this be deeper than Watergate?
Well, Cuomo, the guy who's interviewing him, this annoys me. I don't know how this has happened, but he's basically a politician, Chris Cuomo. He's not an interviewer, a journalist.
Right.
He's basically putting forth a Democrat point of view.
Mm-hmm.
The Watergate thing was important because it showed an abuse of power at the presidential level where a low-level crime was committed and they tried to cover it up. And that's a pretty bad thing.
And they used the FBI and the DOJ to do it.
Yeah, Nixon was doing everything he could not to have the break-in exposed.
So,
he had just said, look, it was a break-in, it was a mistake, and these guys got to pay the price for it. I didn't order it, but the cover-up killed him. So here, this is a whole different thing, because it's not associated with the White House. It's associated with James Comey, the head of the FBI. He was the driver on this. Comey. He's the guy that ultimately is going to take it right in the neck. His assistant McCabe got fired this week. And I think that the scandal is within the FBI at this point.
So deeper than Watergate.
Yeah, I think that's hyperbole on the
side really?
Of Congressman King.
I think this is more profound than Watergate because it goes, I think it goes for a very long period of time. I mean, if you look into the investigation into Clinton and her emails and the changing of that, there's one crime, I think. The next one is the quote, mountains of evidence of corruption on Capitol Hill when it comes to Uranium One. And I'm not making the same charge that everybody else makes that Hillary Clinton was the puppet master there. No, the FBI has mountains of evidence of corruption. I think this has been going on for a long time, and this is just one example of it.
Well, if it starts to unravel, and the real tell is going to be when the Inspector General of the Justice Department, Horowitz, Michael Horowitz, he's going to submit a report next month, I understand, in March. That's going to zero in on names in the FBI and say these guys did this and this guy did that. That's going to unravel everything.
Glenn Beck, Mercury.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Bill O'Reilly from BillO'Reilly.com. It is official. This just broke just in the last couple of minutes, Bill. President Donald Trump has approved the release of the classified memo compiled by the House Republicans. The document allegedly contains proof that some of the top officials in the Obama-era national security establishment abused their authority to obtain surveillance warrants on members of the Trump 2016 campaign. The memo will be released with some technical redactions requested by the FBI, which continues to object to the document's release. House rules dictate that the legislature can vote to declassify material in public interest, stipulating the president must approve its release within 5 days. Today, he just did it. They are expecting the memo to be transferred back to the Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence, who will then release it from the committee. It could come at any time.
Nice summation.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Professor.
We're all up to date.
Yeah. So are they going to, Friday is not the day to release big news.
No, but that's going to get an enormous amount of coverage tonight on cable. Fox News their ratings will go through the roof as they have been all week because of the State of the Union. And then the Sunday shows will go hysterical. And then Monday, they'll still be hysterical. Tuesday, the hysteria will die down a little, but there'll still be up crazy jumping up and down. And so it doesn't really matter anymore. It's, they can't bury something like this.
Will they? Will this change anything, Bill?
I think it will. I think that Mueller's investigation is now under a cloud.
Is that a good? Hang on just a second. Let me. What they're really were seemingly what they were really going for was Carter Page, who's a moron.
Right.
He's a moron.
Right.
And I believe he was absolutely used by the Russians. He might have even known it or liked it. I don't know. He's a clown. And apparently that's really where they were going after, is they had done investigations on him. I believe through the Uranium One thing, they had been watching him for a while. Then he goes over to Moscow after doing the Trump campaign. It's in the dossier. And apparently that's the one that they targeted. Now, to me, that makes sense, and I'm glad they were targeting. I just don't like the way they did it. It's wrong the way they did it, apparently, if what the Republicans are saying is true. But that really doesn't have anything to do with Donald Trump, and I do want to know what Carter Page was doing over there.
Okay, but here's the headline on this. Remember when Trump said that Barack Obama wiretapped him in the Trump Tower?
Yes.
And he was derided for that,
yes,
and mocked,
yes,
and
yes,
all of that.
Yes.
Well, here it is.
Right.
Here it is.
Correct.
Because Carter Page has access to the Trump Tower. And he did speak to many people in the Trump campaign. I don't know what his access to Donald Trump was, but he was being surveilled as he was inside the Trump campaign.
So let me ask,
what Donald Trump originally said
is right.
He's going to turn out to be true.
Okay, so let me ask you this, Bill. You just said that you didn't think that this was as bad as Watergate, or it might be, but you're not necessarily thinking it's as bad as Watergate. Can you help me? Why is that? What you had in Watergate was a break-in, and they were trying to steal information to use it against their opponent, but not use it through the government, but use that information, opposition research and research from them, from internal, to be able to use it against. Well, the Democrats just went out and paid for it, but then they used it in the government to try to discredit their opponent.
Yeah, but the Democrats didn't do it because what the DNC and Hillary Clinton's campaign did was they said, here's some money, Fusion GPS. Here's a big stack of money. Find dirt on Trump. So Fusion GPS goes out, hires this Christopher Steele guy, and he finds dirt on Trump. But it's not true dirt. They made it up. So it comes right back. Then the FBI gets the dirt on Trump that's false, phony, from Fusion GPS, all right, and brings it into the judge and says, oh, we need a wire on the Trump campaign, this guy Carter Page. And the judge says, okay, here's your wire. And then its surveillance begins, okay? So the blame comes on the FBI. This is an FBI scandal.
I know, which now, I think that makes that worse. The other was friends of the
Loretta Lynch and Barack Obama.
So which again, wait, though. Step. Which again is worse because in Watergate, it was just the committee to reelect the president. This
and
is
Nixon
internal.
Too,
no, the cover up was Nixon.
Early, what was happening, and instead
correct.
Of blowing it up, he tried to use his power.
Correct.
To cover it up.
Which, again, I think makes this worse because the people were in the administration. They knew and they expanded it.
Well, here's what makes it worse. This is the only way that this could be worse than Watergate. If there was a plan within the FBI by McCabe and Comey and Strzok and Lisa Page, all of these people, to influence the presidential election. If that is proved to be true, this becomes worse than Watergate.
Why do you think that McCabe was? What do you think happened last week with McCabe? Or was it this week?
What happened was that the Inspector General of the Justice Department went to the FBI chief, Christopher Wray, and said, you better get rid of this guy McCabe, because my report's going to show that he was in the tank for the Democrats, that he did not investigate the Hillary Clinton email thing legitimately, and then went out of his way with his subordinates to try to get dirt on Trump into the bureau when the dirt wasn't true.
So that is, to me, that rise, if true, that rises to the bar that you just set.
To indictment for Mr. McCabe, who, again, was second in command to James Comey. And I just found out today, I did not know this, that this Lisa Page was second in command to McCabe. She wasn't just some woman running, having an affair with this FBI agent, Peter Strzok. She was right next to McCabe. So the news tightens, and this is the first drop. The memo's the first drop. And then after the Inspector General's report comes out, then you're going to be looking at criminal investigation. But who's going to do it? Is the FBI going to investigate the FBI? So you can count on another special prosecutor. Meantime, Mueller and his collusion investigation, no matter what he comes up with now, the Republicans aren't going to believe it, no matter what he comes up with. So this is a big gift to Donald Trump.
And in the end, I believe a big gift to Russia, because we're still talking about Donald Trump and we're still talking about the FBI and Hillary Clinton, and we're all arguing about it. And that is exactly what Russia wanted.
Well, Putin doesn't really care what we find out. He'll deny it.
Right.
You know, it's interesting. I put on BillO'Reilly.com this weekend my interview with Donald Trump last Super Bowl Sunday. See, he's not going to do an interview with NBC this Super Bowl Sunday. So the last one was my interview with him last year, 17. And it was all about Putin and all about what a bad guy Putin was. And you remember that Putin demanded that I apologize, or that he was going to send me to a gulag or something. It was a real big thing. That's posted on BillO'Reilly.com, that whole interview. And it's relevant to what we're talking about right now. So this whole thing, Putin doesn't care. He just likes disruption in America. He'll just deny everything, and so what? He'll give you the finger and walk away. What does Putin care? So no matter what happens, Putin will say, oh, we didn't do it. I mean, you know, that's who he is.
Would you feel comfortable today going over and, I mean, if you would want to, vacation in Russia?
You know, when I was in Afghanistan, when I went over there, the military intelligence said I couldn't go out into Kabul because the Taliban had me targeted. These people, they don't play games. You know, they really don't play games. They know who you are. They know where you are. And you got to be very, very careful. I don't think Putin would do anything to me, but I can't be 100% sure of that. I embarrassed him in that Trump interview. And everybody should listen to that. It's very, very telling.
And it is available at BillO'Reilly.com, BillO'Reilly.com. You're a Patriots guy or an Eagles guy?
I know Brady pretty well. He's a good man. So I kind of just pull for them. Belichick is like Darth Vader. He's pretty amusing to me. But I like the Eagles, too. It's going to be a good game.
What a ridiculously milquetoast answer that was.
I mean, what can I tell you, Beck?
Oh, my gosh.
These guys,
hey,
you know?
I am.
So I got to root for guys that I know.
I am with you unless you're against it, and then I'm with you on that one. My gosh. Bill O'Reilly for BillO'Reilly.com. Thanks, Bill.
All right. Talk soon.
All right. It's Valentine's Day. I mean, well, it's not. It's actually Groundhog's Day, and it ain't my groundhog. I'm pissed at the groundhog today. So Valentine's Day is right around the corner. You might have seen the displays in the malls and the grocery stores. May I suggest you do something right now, because it's on your mind. And if you're anything like me, you're going to get busy, and then you're going to forget, and then you're going to be on Valentine's Day, and, you know, baby's breath will be going for $1,000 and you'll... Here's the thing. I want you to go to 1-800-Flowers.com. That's 1-800-Flowers.com. Right now, you can score up to 60% off their best-selling bouquets. 60% off. Now, that's off select items that she's going to be guaranteed to love, but 1-800-Flowers, despite the name, they have more than just flowers. They have a great selection of sweets and treats and bouquets and gifts that she's really going to love. I mean, and in every price range. 1-800-Flowers.com. They work with the premier farms all around the world to ensure that you get the best flowers available at the best price possible. The reason why, if you order now, you can get, you know, roses at an unbelievable price is because then they can, they know what the demand is. They've got you early. They can book that and then cut them right before and send them. Where are you going to get them, you know, 2 days in front of Valentine's Day? You're not, and the price is going to go through the roof. Valentine's Day bouquets right now and gifts for Valentine's Day, up to 60% off. Go to 1-800-Flowers.com, click on the radio icon, and enter the promo code Beck. Order today, save big. Valentine's Day, do it now, get it off your plate. 1-800-Flowers.com, promo code Beck.
Glenn Beck, Mercury. Glenn Beck.
The Blaze is reporting on something. Front page, you need to check out. New poll shows huge swing in public opinion about Trump. In the positive, the job approval for the president, according to TheBlaze.com, jumped to 42% from a low in December of 32. That's a change of 10 percentage points. In December, 56% disapproved of his job performance. That number has now dropped to 50%. When asked if the president's first year had focused on issues important to most Americans, the percentage increased from July to when it was 32% to now 37%. More Americans approve of the president's tax plan. In December, only 26% approved, 47% disapproved. But last month, a month later, 44% approve, 44% disapprove. That's a net change of 21%. You know why? You know why that is? You know why that is? Because of the internet. I think because for the first time, you know, if it wasn't on CBS Evening News, and that's the way it is, if it wasn't on the CBS Evening News during the Reagan administration, if it wasn't in the New York Times, it didn't happen. Now we know. Now we know that, you know, Apple just had its biggest quarter. And it's repatriating $300 billion and bringing those dollars back home because of the tax bill. We know that people are getting bonuses. They're getting raises. Not everybody. But this is trickle-down economics. And you can't hide it this time. This president devoted a significant amount of the State of the Union address touting the growing economy and his new tax plan. While there is still some way to really win over the public, it looks like the needle has moved in the Republicans' direction since the passage of the tax bill. That's huge. You can find this story, and there's a lot more to it. You can find that story at theblaze.com. President's poll numbers going up. It only makes sense because of the economy. As Bill Clinton says, it's the economy, stupid. Donald Trump this week played it right. If you remember last year when he gave the, you know, quasi State of the Union, what happened? It lasted about a day or two and everybody's like, he was presidential. And then he tweeted and then it went ugly. This year, he hasn't done that. If the president can remain the president that we saw on Tuesday night, his approval rating will change. And it will mainly be because people are feeling the economy. They are feeling a change in their own life. They're seeing positive signs. And if he doesn't blow it by saying something stupid on Twitter, they'll just continue to live there. This is the lowest approval rating for a president who has had this kind of economic approval. Or economic success. And it is only, I think, only because of Twitter. So, Mr. President, please stay off Twitter. Let everybody else mire themselves down into this memo stuff. Stay above the fray. Stay concentrated on what you did on Tuesday, which is who we are. Who's making America great? The people are making America great. You're just helping free the people so they can have their money to do their job. That's the winning strategy for 18 and 20.
Glenn Beck, Mercury. Love, courage, truth. Glenn Beck.
Do you know why you were born? Do you know why you're here? Have you ever thought your whole life is leading toward one moment and you never know when that moment is coming? August 21st, 2015, three American friends, really average guys, they boarded a train from Amsterdam to Paris. They had no way of knowing that their lives were building to that moment and they would be worldwide heroes later in the day. The three friends, Anthony Sadler, Alex Scarlatos, and Spencer Stone. They were on a train going to Paris. They took a lone gunman down who had 300 rounds of ammunition on board. It was quick thinking. Everyone else was running the other way, and they ran toward the problem and saved hundreds of lives. I spoke with them about that fateful day and how their story eventually caught the attention of Clint Eastwood. Alec, Anthony, Spencer, welcome to the program. How are you?
I'm great. How about you?
Very good. All right. So I want to talk to you about one thing that I had a problem with the story, and I just want to hear it from, quite honestly, Spencer. I want to hear it from you, and then I want to hear the excuses from Alec and Anthony.
What? All right.
At some point, you're on this train with this terrorist, and Alec says, "Go," and then you go. He's got a gun. And I noticed, at least in the movie, Alec and Anthony, I'll give it to you, Anthony, you were asleep. But where the hell were you, Alec?
I've been asking him the same thing for a few years now.
Right.
He asked me to go, and then he just sits there and waits for me to make it to him.
No, didn't just wait to make it to him. Then you're wrestling, and you're trying to hold on to the guy. And, I know that you took the butt of the gun to his head after a while, Alec, but it was a little sloppy and slow.
Thank you. America speaks. Finally, then I have a rebuttal.
Yes, okay. Let's hear the rebuttal, please.
Yes.
All right. Yeah, let's do this.
So first of all, Spencer was on the aisle seat, so he had to go first. I wasn't going to, like, climb over him and then trip the aisle and just get shot. But
usually that is that then that phrase should have been, "Go, I'll meet you in about 5 minutes."
Well, obviously, I was using him as a human shield. Right. I wasn't trying to get shot.
Right.
And if he was dumb enough to go first, I mean, it's his own fault for getting shot, right?
Natural selection.
It's, it's an incredible story from start to finish with the three of you. Your friendship, but also the what happened on that day. I was struck by the fact of how many people didn't do anything. I mean, really didn't do anything. Some people were just paralyzed by fear, but everybody else just ran, and there was no one that stepped to the plate.
It's kind of hard to ask people to do that. We, you know, we're all unarmed, and so nobody was really expecting that. So it's kind of a crazy situation to find yourselves in. That's
yeah, but I mean, like, truthfully,
we can't even say if we would have done the same thing if we hadn't had the confidence in ourselves just based off the experiences we've had in life and the skills that we have. I mean, the only thing that really gave me, you know, the confidence to run up at the guy and get up in his face was because I had been practicing jiu-jitsu for the last year. And all I said pretty much to myself was like, man, if I can just get up in his face, I know I can do something. You know, I know how guns operate, you know, getting too close to him, he won't be able to be as effective. So I just, that's what really gave me the boost.
And also too, I think that our friendship, I mean, we've been friends for so long. I think we knew we would kind of have each other's backs, and we'd all kind of talked about similar situations before. And we all knew we were kind of the same mindset.
Do we know, what do we know about the terrorist that, that was the guy that you took down?
So
yeah,
okay. Actually, he was later found out to be connected to the Brussels airport bombing and the Bataclan theater attack. He was from the same village in Morocco as those guys. And, one of the first to come out of that terrorist cell. And so, I mean, he's being held in French custody right now. And I think it's become a much larger investigation. And hopefully we'll be able to get some more information and be able to relay that soon. So,
one of the things I really remember of when this happened, because obviously a terrorist attack starts, you start hearing about how bad it could have been. And there was such a moment of pride as an American to hear that it was three Americans who stopped this.
And can I tell you something? When I first heard it, thought it was, okay, three Americans. And because two of you have background in the service, you just assumed, okay, they're probably Navy SEALs. And I know a lot of Navy SEALs. And, you know, they're just going to snap your neck if you get out of line.
You are wannabe Navy SEALs.
Right. You guys are not that. I mean, no offense.
Well, thanks,
but you're
I was still infantry, okay?
Right. I mean, yeah, I mean, you're not me. but you were not drilled over and over and over and over and over again to kill. I mean, Spencer, you were drilled to heal.
But it was truly a life or death situation. I mean, we had no options. You're on a moving train going 200 miles an hour. This guy's got an automatic weapon. Option A, you sit there and wait till he shoots you, or you get up and try and do something. And I mean, the fight was a fight for survival. It was either he was going to kill us or we were going to kill him. But luckily we were able to just subdue him and choke him unconscious.
I think that's the best thing about the movie, because like you said, people remember the headline and they're like, of course, two off-duty servicemen, of course they would. But the movie does a good job at showing that we were three ordinary guys, that none of us have ever seen anything traumatic like that before. And I think that that's why I would speak to more of the masses of people, because they'll be able to identify with one of us or all three of us and see just how ordinary we are, and that we were really faced with an extraordinary situation.
So, Anthony, if you know, when they asked you, when Spencer said, hey, come to Europe, and you guys thought that there was a chance something like this would happen, would you have thought you were the three guys that would have stood up and done what you did?
No, that would have definitely been hard to peg. I never would have thought nothing like that would have happened. But I guess hindsight being 20/20, especially me being the civilian that I guess didn't have formal training, I couldn't have picked two better guys to go on the trip with. So if I couldn't have imagined being in that situation with any other two people, that's for sure. Yeah,
that's one thing our families kind of joke about, is that, oh, it would be us that did something like that, not just because of like our training or, you know, anything like that, but just because we're always getting in trouble together and always, you know, stuff.
Yeah, something always happens when we hang out.
Yeah, you should stop hanging out.
And stop getting on trains. Yeah. Please,
the,
planes.
The other interesting thing is off of that shoot is in the, you know, in the movie, it shows that you're troublemakers. I mean, none of you, excelled in school. You were always in trouble. And most likely not your moms. Your moms come off as wonderful mothers. But besides your moms, it doesn't seem like anyone with any authority in your childhood expected anything like this from you guys.
That's for sure.
Well, there's one thing in life is we never being like told what to do. So, I mean, we were difficult kids to raise, but I mean, we all are super thankful for the parents that we had. I feel like they really shaped us.
That's a good theme to draw from the movie too, is just that, you know, like, even our success or our failures, they were all part of the bigger plan. And I think people will be able to identify with that. Like, if they feel like they're on the wrong path, that could be something pushing you in a direction that, for all you know, could be working in your favor in the future. So it's all part of the bigger plan.
What was it like when you were approached with the idea of actually acting in
Wait. Go before that. Get to that question first. What was it like when Clint Eastwood said, hey, I want to make your story?
Well, honestly, we were just extremely excited because we've all been, I mean, we were raised on Clint Eastwood movies, so it was kind of a no-brainer for us. And even when we were talking to him about having him do the movie, Sully had just come out, so I watched Sully, and once I saw how good of a job he did on that, especially, it was just kind of like, let's just let the man work and let's do it. I mean, we were just so excited because, I mean, you couldn't have picked anybody better to do it.
It's definitely, I mean, Clint, he's legendary, first as an actor and now as a director. But he made this choice, and in case people don't know, the movie stars the three guys you're hearing. The real people who were in the incident are the actors portraying themselves in the movie.
Clint Eastwood, you know, didn't get Sully. He got Tom Hanks. So when he said to you, hey, guys, why don't you do it? What were your thoughts?
I mean, we were just totally blown away and shocked. I mean, we never even considered it as a possibility, you know, because that's not the normal thing. And we also really just didn't want to risk the success of our story because we knew it was going to be forever. So we wanted it to be good. And so, I mean, it's just something that totally came out of nowhere. Yeah, but how are you going to tell Clint Eastwood no playing yourself in your own film? I mean, it's just something we couldn't turn down.
Nobody
we just jumped at it.
Nobody wanted to get that desk there from Clint Eastwood.
No, I know. I understand that. Spencer, you were wounded seemingly in the movie pretty badly. I mean, at least painfully.
Just a flesh wound.
And then you went on and, you know, stuck your hands in a wounded man's throat to save his life. How long did that actually happen?
So the fight took place probably tops 2 minutes. And then from the point of when the attack started into when we got to the next train station, it was about 25 to 30 minutes.
Holy cow.
When I was over with Mark, I would say it was, a solid 20 minutes. I had my hand in his neck.
And he is okay?
He is good. And actually, that is another thing about this film is, you know, it's not only us playing ourselves, but Mark plays himself. His wife, Lisa, plays herself. We have Chris Norman, the British man who tied up the terrorist, playing himself. A lot of the same train employees. We had a lot of the same police. Had the same exact medical team that brought us off the train 2 years ago.
Wow.
And then oftentimes people, you know, think that we were the only ones that really did anything. But, I mean, without all those people contributing and doing what they did that day, we would have never been in the position to even do anything ourselves and be successful at it. So it's really awesome that they're going to be able to finally get the credit they deserve in such a big way.
He did a good job of taking the television footage at the end with the president of France awarding you the Legion of Honor, because he was mixing, you know, new footage with real footage. And I couldn't help but wonder, are your parents the ones in that crowd in the new footage?
No, they are. They were actors portrayed. They were actors.
No. I know the actors, but I mean the other people in the crowd. Did they include your parents at all in this? Your moms?
No,
they weren't able to. They also, on the day of the actual ceremony, there's no footage of the crowd. It was just us.
Right.
And we have, you know, Judy Greer and Jenna Fisher playing our moms throughout the movie, so it would probably throw off the audience at the end if they would have put our real parents in.
What was it like when, you know, this happened, and then you're called to receive the, you know, the Legion of Honor award, and you're standing How many days? 3 days later? A week later?
3 days after.
Yeah. 3 days later?
Friday. Wow. Happened on Friday, and we're receiving the medal on Monday. So we're going from hostels and doing the cheap way all through Europe to a terrorist attack on Friday until all of a sudden in the Elysee with the French president on Monday. So it's it's a quick turnaround. That's sure.
Yeah, staying in the ambassador's personal residence, like we were sleeping in the same bed that like Charles Lindbergh slept in when he crossed the Atlantic. And it was honestly just like the coolest experience.
I mean, just listen to this. My room was called the Benjamin Franklin room. Okay. That's where the president stays when he comes to France. So, we really got an upgrade.
Wow. And more importantly, the French people were nice to you.
We love the French people.
Yeah, we love them. I mean, I feel like that's like a common misconception these days, actually. It's like very cliche to say, but they're very nice people.
But our experience is a little different.
Yeah, yeah, I could
you're
say,
saving
yeah.
all their lives. Of yeah. course, they're nice to you.
Yeah, they're going to be nice to you. Trust me, they're not going to be nice to me. It's
hey, we'll be the ambassadors for you. Don't worry.
My wife and I are taking our kids over to Europe this summer for the very first time. And just last week, we planned a trip from Paris to Amsterdam and back on that same train. I'm not sure I'm going to take it now.
Good luck, my man.
Stay safe.
It's a popular route.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, now you know what to do. So.
Yes, and here's the role I'll play. Go. God bless you guys. Thank you so much. And it's really stirring. Your story is really stirring, and it was really a great moment, I think, for all Americans to watch the French say the truth about Americans. And sometimes, you know, the rest of the world doesn't see us like this. But I think that's who we all at least want to be in situations like that. And you guys actually did it. So thank you so much. God bless.
Thanks for having us. God bless you, too, man.
The new Clint Eastwood movie, 1517 to Paris, opens up a week from today. Tax season is approaching. This week is Tax Identity Theft Awareness Week. I didn't get a card or anything. I don't know. I'm going to be in trouble. Anyway, tax identity thieves might be looking forward to your tax refund. If you have a refund coming, somebody may have taken your identity and filed for your tax refund, and they may get it. You'd be amazed at how many hundreds of millions of dollars are taken, stolen from the American people through tax identity fraud every single year. One in four people have experienced identity theft, and if you're only monitoring your credit, your identity can be stolen in ways that you're not going to detect. Thieves can sell your information on the dark web or get an online payday loan in your name. LifeLock is there. They detect a wide range of identity thefts, and if they detect your information is at risk, they're going to send you an alert. If they find out that it has been stolen, the U.S.-based restoration specialists are going to work to fix it with you. So nobody can prevent all identity theft, monitor all transactions, but I'm telling you, LifeLock is the best in the business. They are relentless. Go to LifeLock.com, use the promo code Beck, 1-800-LIFELOCK or LifeLock.com, use the promo code Beck. You get a special 10% discount now, 1-800-LIFELOCK.com or LifeLock.com/Beck.
Glenn Beck, Mercury. Glenn Beck.
There's a lot to discuss yet on the program. The memo has been now officially released. President Trump has declassified it. He signed it about an hour or hour and a half ago. We're waiting for the release of the memo. It had to go back to Capitol Hill to the Republicans, who are now just releasing the sooner they release it, the better. It is a Friday and a weekend, which is usually not a good time to release. The buildup is here. Hopefully it has something in it that is real. There's a new poll out on blaze.com that you really need to see. Front page of the Blaze. New poll. President jumps 10 percentage points. His approval rating has gone from 32% to 42%, and his disapproval rating is down by 6 percentage points.
That's a huge swing. His tax plan is up in approval by 21 points. There's something else. The Democrats have lost their or are about to lose their midterm advantage. Just a month ago, they had an advantage of 15 points that is now down to 2. And I will bet you that the State of the Union is going to linger and hurt them even more. If the president can remain presidential and stay above the fray, this is really good news for Republicans. Let me point out one thing that I found in this poll that I thought was interesting. If you read this poll at the blaze.com, you will see the Democrats losing their midterm advantage. How'd that happen? Because they control the media, pretty much the narrative, all the anti-Trump stuff that is going on. It shows that the media advantage for the Democratic Party is slipping and I believe almost gone. And the Democratic media advantage with Facebook is also slipping. The first time engagement on Facebook is down happened this quarter.
Glenn Beck, Mercury. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Welcome to the program. Pat Gray from Pat Gray Unleashed just has joined us. And I wanted to get your opinion on a couple of things. And they both really revolve around dads.
Mm-hmm.
You know who Larry Nassar is, right?
Oh, yeah.
So Larry Nassar is the guy who sexually assaulted as a doctor all of these preteen and teenage girls for the gymnastics team, the Olympic gymnastics team. It went on forever. He has been sentenced. And at the sentencing, you can, as a victim or a victim family, you can speak out and talk to the judge with Larry sitting there. Well, one very large, burly father who's wearing his union shirt says this to the judge.
I would ask you to, as part of this sentencing, to grant me 5 minutes in a locker room with this demon.
I have.
Would you do that?
That is not.
Yes or no?
No, sir. I can't.
Would you give me 1 minute?
You know that I can't do that. That's what? Not how I legal system.
Well, I'm going to have to give it. Come on.
Now he lunged towards Nassar. And there's about four sheriffs on. Now listen to him.
Put your hands behind your back.
I want that son of a bitch.
Put your hands behind your back.
I know.
Give me 1 minute with that pastor.
No, he's on the floor. There's three deputies on him. They're handcuffing him by his back. One guy is whispering to him, you know, I think almost kindly. Come on, relax.
1 minute.
Relax, sir.
Relax.
Wow.
Take it easy, buddy.
Just relax.
Oh, wait. Okay.
Okay.
I want to stop right here. Okay. Pause the tape here. And I want to come back to it. Pat.
Mm-hmm.
Thoughts?
Oh, I can absolutely relate to it.
Oh, my gosh.
If that guy had done that to my daughter, I'd want to do the same thing.
I'd want to do exactly the same thing. Mm-hmm. I'd want to do exactly the same thing.
I'd know that they wouldn't grant me even 1 minute.
I know. I don't know if I even would have asked the question because, you know, you're just giving everybody time to prepare.
Right.
The two daughters standing next to him,
mm-hmm.
Did you notice their faces?
No.
Okay. This up on the Blaze. Watch their faces. They know. One of them, who looks like maybe is the victim, looks at the other sister like, oh, my gosh, Dad. They know that he's going to ask this question. I don't think they know he's going to lunge toward him. And the daughter, as soon as he lunges, you'll hear the daughter scream, no, Dad, don't. It's sad because he's re-traumatizing mm-hmm. the daughters now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
And it's sad, but I don't blame him.
Not at all.
Now listen to what the frickin' judge says.
You have to let him too, okay?
Right. Okay, now they're gonna help him up.
Sit up. Get on your side.
Hey,
sit up.
Where is he?
Up
One, two, three. Oh. Mm. What if this happened to you guys?
What if this happened to you guys? He said that too. Wow.
You can behave like this. I'm going to make sure it's crystal clear. I'm sure Judge Kraken. You cannot behave like this. This is letting him have this power.
Oh, shut up. Shut up. Did you hear?
So what did you say?
First of all, he said, he looks at the deputies and says, what if this happened to you?
Yeah.
And it's interesting because this didn't happen to him. This happened to his daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But if you're a dad, what if this happened to you as a dad? Okay. Mm-hmm. So I have complete compassion for this guy. Then she says, as he gets up, you can't behave this way. And he looks at the judge and says, you haven't lived through it, lady. And she says, you can't behave this way. You're letting him control your actions. And I'm going to make sure. And then the tape cuts off.
Wow.
Here's what the judge should have said. Sir, I understand your feelings. That's why we have the justice system we do. We're here for justice, and I understand your feelings. You know, to lecture a dad on this is just
despicable.
Despicable.
Yeah.
Despicable.
Yeah. The whole thing involving the Larry Nassar situation is despicable. The guy could have been stopped easily 20 years ago at Michigan State. Michigan State was told by multiple girls, four of them spoke out at the time, and they weren't believed.
So let me ask you a question. How come this is not as damning on Michigan State?
It should be.
As Penn State.
Yeah, it should be far more.
Which was much less than what was charged.
Much, much less.
Much less.
In fact, to listen to John Ziegler, nothing really happened.
Right.
So I don't know if that's the case. He makes a pretty good case of it. But Michigan State, I'm almost thinking that they shut down the school. They were so irresponsible. They were so lackadaisical in their response and so irresponsible that they allowed the further sexual exploitation of hundreds, literally hundreds of girls. He could have been stopped. 1998 would have been over. Would have
unbelievable.
Been over.
Truly unbelievable.
Really sad.
Okay. Let me show you a video from a documentary. This is Tom versus Time.
Mm-hmm.
It's about Tom Brady. He's got his shirt off. He's getting a sports massage. And his son peeks in. Go ahead. Oh, we don't have it? I'm sorry. I thought we had it.
Oh, okay.
Okay, they're getting it. Have you seen it yet?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We talked about that yesterday.
The media is going crazy and saying, you know, what was happening there? Here's the video, the audio.
In a documentary called Tom versus Time, there's a scene showing five-time Super Bowl winner Tom Brady getting a massage. Then his 11-year-old son comes in the room and asks him if he can check his fantasy football standings.
I was wondering if I could check my fantasy team.
What do I get?
You know, Jack, everything comes at a cost, bud.
That was like a peck.
The second kiss shared by father and son prompted tweets from viewers using words like very disturbing and uncomfortably long.
Okay. Right. And of course, I'm with them on that. It's disturbing and uncomfortably long. And I know that you are okay with that.
Okay, so hang on just a second. Yeah. First, let's take this one step at a time.
Mm-hmm.
The kid coming in and saying, Dad, can I check my fantasy football stats? That shows that parent is involved. The kid has.
Oh, I think it looks like Brady's a really good dad.
A really good dad.
Yeah,
okay?
It does look like
so
that.
So we would all love. And for a son to behave like that with that kind of fame, mm-hmm. privilege, access, mm-hmm. money, hot mom. come on, man. Mm-hmm. These people, I'm not mad at Tom Brady. I'm mad at God for giving all of the stuff to one guy.
Yeah.
So please, great kid. They're picking it apart first because, oh, how dare you make something cost physical affection. You're teaching him.
Oh, come on.
Thank you. Say it for me.
Shut up.
Thank you. All right. I know we were both thinking it. Okay. So then the next thing is he kisses him on the lips.
Yeah.
Do you have a problem with that? The first kiss?
Yeah. I mean, I don't like it because it's just, I don't.
You never kissed your son on the lips?
No, I don't kiss my daughters on the lips.
Ever? Mm-hmm. Really?
No. I mean, I'm not saying there's anything pedophilia involved or related to it. It's just creepy to me.
Okay. See, it bothers me. I grew up, and still my sisters and I, mm-hmm. you know, we see each other, we give each other a hug, and we give each other a peck on the lips.
Yeah.
It's no big deal. It bothers me that one of my children always moves their head so it is on the forehead.
Oh.
And even not the cheek and whatever. That's cool.
One of them's uncomfortable with it, obviously.
One's uncomfortable. And it's totally cool. Kind of makes mm-hmm. me sad, but it's totally cool.
Yeah.
You know, there comes a time when they're all going to make their own decision on what they're comfortable with, and that's totally fine.
Yeah.
So my son, he's 11. He's always been very affectionate. He kisses me on the lips. I know that's going to end soon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at some point, he's not going to even want me to give him a hug in public.
Yeah.
And that ends. And I get that. But you got an 11-year-old boy. The dad is clearly joking. The dad is clearly, and he, you see him, he comes, he's smiling as he shrugs his shoulders and turns around after his dad says, that was just a peck. It's a dad joking with his son and his son going, okay.
Yes.
I mean, it's a joke.
And obviously they have that relationship where kissing on the lips is
normal. Oh my gosh, you are so uncomfortable
them,
with
but
that.
It's very,
you are so uncomfortable with that.
Yes, I am. Yeah, and again, I'm not saying it's sexual harassment or pedophilia or any of that. It just makes me uncomfortable to see.
So are you uncomfortable at any time with me and Rafe?
Probably if I see you kiss him on the lips, but I mean, it goes away quickly.
Well, you've
so.
Been around. You've been around.
Yeah, I've seen you do it a lot of times.
You're not comfortable. You're just not comfortable.
I'm a little uptight. You know this.
You are very uptight.
I'm a little
You're
uptight
very uptight
about certain things.
I mean, if I, you know, if all of a sudden we're like, oh yeah, come on in for another one, then maybe that's a problem.
I hope to never be a party to that.
You know, I hope so too.
I really hope.
You know, not. I will be the one pushing away if he ever looks at me and goes, oh dad,
hey,
you know what?
You know,
that beard kind of feels kind of. I don't know. There is an age.
Mm-hmm.
There is an age. You know, it's, I don't know. Between 10 and 15, there is an age where it is more comfortable. Like it is. My sisters are completely comfortable kissing me on the lips because that's what our family did. Okay.
Yeah.
And so it's fine. With my girls, I'm comfortable kissing them on the cheek. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And that's great. There was a time when they were little when I would kiss them on the, you know, kiss them on the lips and they'd look up to dad and kiss him on the lips. And that was fine. You grow out of that.
Yeah.
And everybody's different. I don't like the parent shaming thing.
No, he shouldn't be shamed for it. It's just that he probably should have known better than to do that during a documentary.
Well, that's what Bill O'Reilly said. His problem was he let a crew in to film his house.
Exactly. And with people so jealous of him to begin with, he's just going to get hammered for that. It's too bad, really. But it's also a little creepy.
All right. So Stu is already at the Super Bowl.
Yes, he is.
Yeah. He goes every year.
Mm-hmm.
When is he going to bring his kids? When is he going to bring his son?
It's a good question. I've never heard any inkling of him going down that road.
Going down that road.
No.
This is not a father-son kind of thing.
All.
No.
Not at all.
No. No.
No.
And when did we sell the Super Bowl to the Chinese? What is it with this Super Bowl Lee?
Super Bowl Lee? Oh, L-I-I? Thing, yeah.
No, it's not what.
It's not what it.
That's not what it is.
It's not what it stands for. Although that now that we're into such big Roman numerals, it does look exceptionally.
It goofy. Looks weird.
I'm also uncomfortable with that. I think we need to go to 5-2.
Yeah. Are you? Who are you predicting is going to win?
New England. New England's going to win.
You know what it is? All the boy kissing.
I'm just what it is. I'm saying. By the way, I'm Pat Gray Unleashed. In hour two, more on trivia returns for the Super Bowl. So join me then.
And it's never. What's your record this year?
0-0.
Oh, you've this is the first
yeah,
time.
Yeah, first
you
time we've done it this
first
year.
First time you've done it. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. On Pat Gray Unleashed, which is happening on the Blaze Radio Network, you can find it at theblaze.com. More on trivia today. All right. Valentine's Day is right around the corner. Valentine's displays have been up forever, and you all of a sudden you're like, oh crap, did you realize it was Groundhog Day? Did you get your Groundhog Day card? And by the way, you said more winter is coming, and I say we kill that rat. Anyway, Valentine's Day is right around the corner, and right now you can save a buttload on the flowers, and you can get this off your plate. 60% off their best-selling bouquets, arrangements, and gifts. 60% off the best-selling items. They also have more than just flowers, a selection of sweets and treats and the bouquets. So you can, you make your own thing. And they have gifts that are literally, I mean, it's an amazing website. They have gifts that are, completely affordable from $19 all the way. I think I saw one for $10,000. I mean, it better be a really great Valentine's Day for $10,000, but somebody's going to buy it. 1-800-Flowers.com is just a great place to go poke around and then find something really special for your Valentine's Day. And on select items, 60% off. That's their best-selling bouquet and their gifts. 60% off right now. 1-800-Flowers.com. That's 1-800-Flowers.com. Make sure you use the promo code Beck to get these specials. 60% off on their select items. 1-800-Flowers.com.
Glenn Beck. Mercury. Glenn Beck.
Some details are coming out now about the FISA memo that has just been declassified by the president about an hour and a half ago. And it shows that Fusion GPS and Steele continued to feed information to the FBI during their investigation, which is interesting to say the least. This when this memo is fully released, remember a couple of things. Our goal here is to clean up the FBI. Our goal here is to make sure this kind of stuff, if it did happen, doesn't happen again. And the other target, there are two, DOJ, FBI, the other target is Russia. What did the DOJ and FBI do? How did they present this to the FISA court? Were they transparent? And what is Russia's involvement? Have a safe weekend.
Glenn Beck, Mercury.